Good morning, all.
I'll be gone for long.
Yep, 6 weeks, and I'm headed out to Alaska. This time I'll be gone for 2 years. That is the commitment that I've made with them, and I'm really looking forward to it. But in the meantime, we are starting a new series today called the Spirit-Controlled Temperament. And I hope that I can do this justice, because this is a powerful study, and it's full of hope, and it's full of promise. If you are like myself, that struggles from time to time with proper Christian behavior, and you want to understand why you behave like you do and what makes you do the things you do, then this study is for you today. So the question that we all ask ourselves, do we have our slides up? Let's go. This is Tim LaHaye wrote this book back in the 60s. And the fascinating thing about this is that science is just now coming to grips with the realities and the truths that he wrote back in the 60s. And it's really wonderful to see how the Spirit gave him a revelation to write this book. This is, in fact, a Spirit-inspired book. And I hope, like I said, that we can do it. But why is it I can't control myself? I know what's right and wrong, but I'm not able to do what I know is the right thing to do. Now, I'm not talking about political correctness. I'm talking about Christian living, okay? This is a question that every one of us has asked ourselves at one time or another during the course of our lives. I know that growing up, I had a father that was a loving father, but when he got angry, and had we had CPS back then, there might have been some intervention. You know, that belt ruled the house, okay? And I grew up saying, I'll never be like my father, and I grew up being more like my father than I ever thought I would be. So, but you're not alone in asking yourself this question. Paul, the greatest apostle, who was visited by Jesus Christ himself on the road to Damascus, wrote in Romans 7, 18 through 20, he said, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil that I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me." Understand and know this. Paul differentiated between himself as an individual and the uncontrollable force of sin that was within him. The sin that resided in him resulted from the natural weaknesses that he, like every one of us, receive from our parents and our grandparents. At the moment of conception, we all inherit a basic genetic temperament that contains both our strengths and our weaknesses. David tells us in Psalm the 51st chapter, he said, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So the temperament that you inherit is referred to in the Bible as the natural man, the flesh, the old man, the carnal man, the corruptible man, just to name a few of the things that the Bible refers us to in our natural state. So the question is, what is temperament? Okay, I want you to understand that temperament is not to be confused with your character or your personality. Temperament is at the core of your DNA. And it is the combination of the inborn traits that subconsciously affects all of our behavior. These traits, which are passed on by genes, are based on hereditary factors and arranged at the time of conception. That's why, and not all of us get the same genes from the same set of parents. You'll have siblings, some which have an anger issue like I had the biggest part of my life. I was very angry. I had a temper, and I would fight at the drop of the hat, and I was one dropping the hat. You know, my brother can tell you, it was something innate in me that I felt like I could not control. I would get so angry I would get so angry in such a manner that I would pick fights on people that outweighed me by over 50 pounds. That's how angry I would get. Wasn't controlling it with my mind. If I did, I wouldn't have done those things. But it was in my nature, and it came out. But six people contribute to your main gene pool, and that's grandparents on both sides of you and your parents. And it is interesting that recently, that with the studies that people are doing now, that they will take a child that has been adopted and separated from his natural parents, and the same traits, now he may be being raised by gentle, nurturing, loving couple, but the same traits of anger and abuse and bullying will all of a sudden manifest itself in this child when he gets to adolescence or preteen years and starts growing up. And the parents that have adopted him will wonder, what in the world have we done wrong? But then when they find out who the real parents were and they see the traits that were there in the parents, has been passed on through genetics to that child. They have taken twins and separated twins at birth and find out that this twin being raised by one set of parents and this twin being raised somehow or another wind up with the same characteristics and the same temperaments as each other, even though they're being raised in different households under different kinds of circumstances. So we have sayings that talk about this. The one that everybody knows, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Okay? And then we have the one, like father, like son. And then the one, I always love, is what the daughter does, the mother did. Okay? So it's a person's temperament that makes him outgoing or shy. Turns him into an artist, a musician, and let me tell you something, just like I said, some people inherit certain genes, others inherit others. My brothers and my sisters, both, I've got two brothers and two sisters that can sing and play just about anything. And then you got me and Bruce that couldn't carry a tune if it had a handle on it. You know, those are genes that weren't passed down to us, that were passed down to them. And so understand that musicians, athletics, entrepreneurs, selfishness is something that's passed down, generosity, anger, abusers, bullies, soft-spoken and submissiveness are just some of the traits that we gain from our temperament that's passed down through the genes of our family. In the article called The Temper Trap, that was written by, it's called The Genetics of Anger and Self-Control. Now, get this, The Genetics of Anger and Self-Control. This is what I'm talking about, science just now catching up with what Tim LaHaye wrote back in the 60s. This paper was written back in 2020. In a paper published earlier this year in the Journal of Cognitive Neuroscience, my colleagues and I found that people who are genetically predisposed towards aggression try hard to control their anger, but have inefficient functioning in the brain regions that controls the emotions. In other words, self-control is biological. And so science is starting to catch up with the fact and understanding that it's not like Freud taught. Everything you do is your parents' fault. You don't have to take responsibility for anything you do because it's your parents' fault for raising you like they did so that you behave like you do. No, it's the sin, as Paul said, that is born in us as a result of our forefather Adam and his wife Eve sinning in the garden, and therefore passing down these genetics hereditarily to each and every one of us. It's called sin. We fight with it. We battle with it. We struggle with it each and every day. We're like Paul. Why do I do the things that I do? I want to do good, but I can't do it good. How many of you have ever made a commitment to fast, and then by 10 o'clock in the morning, you're in the refrigerator trying to find something to eat? That's me. If I speak the word, now I can go, and I know Randy can do the same thing. Randy can get up and start working all day long, and it's 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon before he even thinks about eating. But I guarantee you, if he says, I'm going to fast tomorrow, by 10 o'clock he's going to wonder why his belly is rubbing against his backbone. It's just something in us, when we want to do good, we have a struggle with it. When we want to turn away from that which we know is wrong, we struggle with it. There's another article. I mentioned entrepreneurs. In the article, are entrepreneurs born or are they made? Published in 2017 by Warwick Business School. It was stated that 40% of the variance of entrepreneurship is accounted for by genetic factors. Research finds genetic influences becoming an entrepreneur, and we create our own environment based on our genes. So if you're not an entrepreneur and you always wanted to be, blame it on your genes. So most of us want to blame it like Garth Brooks, blame it all on my roots, you know. But the fact of the matter is now, like I said, it's amazing that science is just now catching up with what was revealed to Tim LaHaye when he wrote this book back in the 60s. Now, so that's what temperament is. It's inbred in you. It is that core of your DNA that makes you what you are. Now, character. What is character? Character is the real you. The Bible refers it to the hidden person of the heart in 1 Peter 3 and 4. It is the result of the temperaments that you were born with being modified by childhood training, education, attitudes, beliefs, principles, and motivations. I know that there are some of us that have understood what our temperaments were, and yet we've been able to, through education and teaching and training, to subdue the major portion of our behavior that particular temperament promotes in us. We can squash it down. And we push it down. But then, in the worst of times, or all of a sudden it rears its ugly head and comes right back up and faces us. Character is who you are and what you do when no one else is around. It is what you do when you have the freedom to do what you want to do without anyone else there to observe your actions. We've all been tempted in certain ways and from certain times. I know there's plenty of stories of people that have found wallets and returned the wallets with 100% of the cash intact. That's character. That's the kind of character that we wish that everybody would have. But unfortunately, that's not always the case. Understand and know this. Just because you were abused doesn't mean that you're going to be an abuser. Even though that was imposed upon you as a child and imprinted in your mind, there are millions of people that struggle with abuse today that have been abused as children that are not abusers themselves. Why? Because the gene that was there in their parents did not get passed down onto them. But then there's others who pass it down from one generation to the next, and it seems that when it's passed down, the behavior becomes worse than it did in the parents before them. And so that's the nature of sin. If you feed sin, it will consume you. It will destroy you. Okay, then we look at personality. Personality is the face that you put on in front of others. It may or may not be genuine, depending on how honest you are with other people about yourselves. Personality is often a very pleasing facade for a very unpleasant and weak character. We see it in movies all the time about how the great villain, the guy that's out to steal what he can do, he will put on a facade, he will put on a face, he will put on a personality and just be all loving and caring and generous and everything just to gain the trust of somebody else so that he can take everything they have. Okay, so many are playing a part today, and based on what they think others are expecting of them rather than what they really are. That's the world today. In this political correctness and woke environment and everything else, you don't dare speak out and say what you're doing is wrong. It is sin, because that's not politically correct. That's not woke friendly, if you will. I'm not woke, I'm awake. And that's what I want to stay. I want to stay in the Word of God and understand and be able to call sin, sin to its face, and not have to back down from it. So many play this part. They want to be one thing to one person because that's what is expected of them. And then when they're over here with this crowd, they got to put on a different face and a different persona because that's what's expected of them over here. Lord help if both groups come together at the same time and there you are in the middle knowing which part you want to play. This is a formula for mental and spiritual chaos. When you try to play a part, you know, it's easier to tell the truth because you can remember the truth. A lot of times it's hard to tell which lie you told to which person. You know, most often it's the result of the formula for acceptable conduct as dictated by humans rather than by God. So we have witnessed many of these behaviors in future times, and it seems it gets worse and worse and worse. Men dictating what is acceptable behavior instead of going into the Word of God and finding what the truth really is. The Bible tells us that man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart, and out of it, the heart, springs the issues of life. So God's not looking at the face or the persona that you're putting out there, because he can see right down into the depths of your spirit and know exactly what's there. In summary, temperament is a combination of traits we are born with. Character is our civilized temperament. And personality is the face we show to others. Temperament traits, whether controlled or uncontrolled, last us throughout our life. They are with us throughout our life. There's a reason that if we don't stay in communion with God, if we don't practice the spiritual disciplines that Pastor has been teaching on, and we kind of start drifting away from the place that God would have us to be, that all of a sudden these temperaments that have been spiritually controlled by the Holy Spirit at one point in our life, all of a sudden begin to rear their ugly heads. And I want you to understand, the devil has borne witness to some of your traits, and even though you may still stay in communion with God, even though you may still pray and get in the Word and meditate on a regular basis, we find ourselves being drawn away by our own lust. That sin continues to try to rear its ugly head within ourselves. But understand and know this. Here's the hope and the promise behind all of this. Your temperament can be modified. Even though it's with you all of your life, it can be modified. Now, I told you about my anger issues and how I used to throw temper tantrums and I would get angry and mad and want to fight and everything else. I can't tell you the last time I lost my temper. I can't tell you the last time that I wanted to fight. Because somewhere between then and now, I met someone who could help me squash that and control it. And that was my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Temperament or behavior modification is something that is big in this day and age. When I was in prison, anybody that had committed a violent offense against another individual had to go to anger management classes. It was mandatory. There was no escaping it. If you had practiced violence against someone, you had to go to anger management classes. What was the hope? What was the purpose? To try to modify that behavior so that there wouldn't be a chance of that individual showing back up in prison at a later date by doing the same thing that he had just done. We know that there's the 12-step programs, and we have the life recovery class here. And there is a difference between the 12-step programs and our life recovery programs. The 12-step programs that are available have to do with alcoholics, with drugs, with sexual addictions, with gambling, anything that and understand and know that genetics also determine whether or not you will be a person that has that addictive chemistry in your body, that it doesn't matter whether it's drugs, alcohol, gambling, or whatever. It's something that once you get involved in it, you can't control it, and it pulls you and draws you to it every time. There's other people that I've seen people, it's crazy right now. You watch a football game, and what do they advertise today? They advertise gambling. They advertise sports betting. I saw one ad the other day that said, over $600 million won at this site over the last season. Well, guess what? In order for those people to win $600 million, somebody else had to lose $600 million. And then at the bottom of the screen, it says, if you have a problem with gambling, call this number. It doesn't make sense, but there it is. It's what we live with each and every day. Here's the thing. People go into 12-step programs, and I promote them. I'm for them because in these programs, they teach these people that there is a higher power that can give them the strength to overcome. And I just hope that somehow or another, in that understanding that there's a higher power, they understand and find out that that higher power is Jesus Christ, and he can fill you with his spirit and deliver you. And so consequently, you no longer have to stand up and confess, I am an alcoholic, but you can stand up and confess, I am an overcomer by the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in me. I'm sorry, we don't have to have sponsors to call on. Our counselor is the Holy Spirit. When we struggle with the issues of life and the sinful nature, all we have to do is to go back, get on our knees, and confess to the Lord. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. And you can become a overcomer. We as Christians sometimes believe, erroneously, that because we no longer do some of the things that we used to do, that temperament has been erased. Well, that's wrong. I want to tell you something. It's still there. And if you're not careful, it will raise its ugly head. Some of them more than others, depending on you as an individual and what you struggle with most. It is the infilling of the Holy Spirit received when you believe and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior that makes the modification in your behavior possible. Paul struggled with this. In Romans 7:24, he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he answers that, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, I can be delivered. It is his strength that comes upon us. But Paul then goes on in Corinthians to say, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. You can modify your behavior through the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter continues this theme where he says, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What does the word Christian mean? In the early church at Antioch, they were first called Christians. The word Christian simply means Christ-like. And it is only by him imparting the divine nature into you, making you his righteousness, making you his child, that we're able to overcome the lust of the flesh that each and every one of us battle from time to time. Dr. Henry Brandt, and I know I've got just a minute or two, Dr. Henry Brandt was a pioneer in biblical counseling, started in the 50s. He was one of the first Christian psychologists to place his confidence in the Bible rather than the textbook that he studied in school. And he told a group of ministers one time in a speech, he said, "If my patients do not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then I can't help them." He further stated, he said, "You can use your background as an excuse for your present behavior only until you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and after that you have a new power within you that is able to change your conduct." R.C. Sproul, the great R.C. Sproul that many of us have listened to for years and everything, was approached by a psychologist one day after a sermon in his church, and he was offered a job in the psychologist's office to come and counsel with his patients. When he stated, he said, "I have no education in counseling. I don't understand psychology." The psychologist stated, "It is not your counseling I'm interested in. It's the message that you have that can give hope to individuals that are suffering so much from depression and anxiety. It is the hope of Jesus Christ, the hope of every Christian." So Paul tells us how to retain this divine nature. He says in Ephesians 5:18-21, he says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, understand and know this. If you're struggling, you're not alone. If you're struggling, there's hope. There's a promise for each and every one of you. And God can help you overcome each and every one of the attributes that was passed on down through you to you through genetics. And you can be victorious. We have, this church is full of people that can stand up and say, "I was, but now I am." Hallelujah. We don't have to be like Popeye and say, "I am what I am, and that's all I am." We can stand up here and say, "I am what I am, but I'm not all that I shall become through the power of Jesus Christ." God bless you today.